Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Gateway Rescue Mission, meeting the physical and spiritual needs of the homeless right here in Jackson, Mississippi. Check us out at www.gatewaymission.org.
Good Monday morning, everybody. You are listening to the Richard Schwartz and Associates Injury Lawyers Legal Power Hour. I am Patrick Wooten, joined by Richard Schwartz, as always, on this chilly Monday morning here in Mississippi. But good morning to you, Richard.
Good morning. Good morning. How are you doing this morning?
I am doing very well. Sun is shining, so it's we set a record high in Jackson on Friday of 81 degrees and a whopping 35 degrees this morning. So winter time is here. So the crazy weather continues in the state. Of course, we do want to, you know, send out our hearts and prayers to those affected by the absolute horrible tornadoes that ripped through, you know, Kentucky and Illinois and Tennessee and in Ohio and all those states, but Kentucky being the worst of the states who are absolutely devastated by tornadoes, which is something we know all too well here in the state of Mississippi. So, you know, those of you that are inclined to want to give, you know, money, or I know they have blood needs and so forth, there are plenty of opportunities on the internet to be able to reach out to do that, to help those, you know, people who went through that terrible devastation over the weekend.
Yeah, it's awful. It's just awful. And, you know, it's one of those things. Mother Nature has its way. I mean, we think we can control most things, but Mother Nature proves this every day. I mean, every time that, hey, Mother Nature's in control, not us.
Yeah, absolutely. So just absolutely, you know, terrible. The pictures and videos that have been seen, you know, just make you want to sit there and hug your loved ones and give thanks for, you know, each day, because you're not promised tomorrow, you know, in any way, shape, or form. So, you know, certainly, you know, in life, you want to, you know, enjoy your job, enjoy your family, enjoy your hobbies, you know, most definitely, because we're never guaranteed the next day. So, you know, take advantage of life, most definitely. But so on a more positive note, how was your weekend? So how's the Christmas shopping coming? How are you doing?
Thank God I'm done.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I'm done. I'm this earliest I've ever done it, and I'm done. I'm over it now.
So that's, you know, it's hard to believe that we're 12 days away from Christmas. So this month is just racing by, you know, most definitely. But so did you actually go to the stores, Richard, or did you do a lot of online shopping?
I say half of it was online and half was stores. It's amazing. This is the first time I've really used online shopping, and it's an amazing tool, no doubt.
No, definitely, definitely. So it.
And let me tell you, I put a present in the mail in second week of October, and like five packages, and the first ones were delivered yesterday. Saturday.
That is crazy.
Yeah, I know. I was in a U.S. post office. It's amazing.
Yeah, it is unbelievable. But well, you're listening to the Richard Schwartz and Associates Injury Lawyers Legal Power Hour. If you'd like to join us, you can always call us at 888-808-8637. Or you can text us on the C Spire text line at 601-879-4395. I did want to talk about, you know, we kind of teased last Monday that the final 3M trial was going on, and that there was a chance that the jury could get the, you know, case on Friday, and they did. The jury got it and actually rendered a verdict on Friday for Theodore Finley, who was the plaintiff in that case, as we talk about the 3M combat earplugs. And Christmas came early for Mr. Finley. The jury awarded him $7.5 million in compensatory damages and $15 million in punitive damages for a total award of $22.5 million, making it the largest award yet as it relates to the 3M earplug cases. Just absolutely a you know, monumental verdict on behalf of Mr. Finley, as well as the 270,000 other service members who have filed claims as it relates to these defective earplugs.
Yeah, you know, the company's going to have to reach a settlement. They can't continue doing this for very long.
No.
So I would imagine something's going to happen.
Absolutely. I think there have been a total now of 10 trials, and the plaintiffs have won 7, the defense won 3. But, I mean, the 7 victories by the service members, you know, are totaling close to $100 million in verdicts on their behalf. So just absolutely, it's got, like you said, Richard, it's got to create a catalyst for 3M to want to come to their senses and start to have settlement discussions with, you know, all the plaintiffs' counsels that are out there to try to resolve these things. Because this judge already has, you know, trials set in the first quarter of 2022, you know, and 3M can't continue to get hit for $22.5 million verdicts. It is unbelievable.
Yeah. I definitely think there's a settlement forthcoming, and I think people who sit on their hands and were in the military and used 3M earplugs and don't do anything about it, they're going to get less money in any settlement, if any money at all, depending on how they settle the case. It may not be an MDL settlement. So you definitely need to make a call. And what are the years?
2003 to 2015, if you were a service member and were issued these earplugs, that is the window of time for which you could qualify for these for a case.
Yeah. So if you have any friends that were in the military in that time frame and they had a loss of hearing of any kind, they need to call us. You need to get them to call us because you're doing them a favor, because they may not get any money unless they take some action.
No, you're exactly right. I mean, like I said, 270,000 service members have already, you know, filed claims, but the number of potential service members who could file a claim is much higher than that. So, you know, 3M has a lot of liability hanging against them because of, you know, the fact that, you know, these earplugs were defective and just did not provide the protection that our service members needed. And again, not just for those who deployed, but those who, you know, were stationed stateside as well and did training exercises and went to weapons qualification and so forth. So you do not have to have, you know, gone to Iraq or Afghanistan or Kuwait or any of the other foreign soils to qualify for, you know, being a member of these, you know, cases. So something to consider.
If 3M is smart, they'll go to the biggest law firms that have the massive cases that are spending the money in this litigation and go settle their inventory. And that will leave the MDL pretty much non-existent. And so as a result, they'll be able to control that MDL a lot better and make determination of what any futures they're going to have, if any at all. So I definitely think that's probably what's going to happen. That's exactly what happened in Roundup. I think that's what's going to happen in 3M as well.
No, I think you're right. So, well, hey, we got a text in, and we appreciate it on the C Spire text line. And the question is, it says, I bought a used vehicle a month ago, and it's had major issues since then. You know, what would be the recourse? I know Mississippi's got a lemon law, Richard, but what advice would you give, you know, that person who's having, you know, such issues with a vehicle?
That depends if it's used or new.
And they said it was used. They bought a used vehicle.
Oh, used. Well, then the way that happens, if you buy it used, let's say from a dealership, there is a warranty that it works. The question is, how long does that warranty last? And the question is probably in your agreement where you sign for that car. There's probably some warranty they give you. Or if you bought it as is, and if it says as is, then there's no warranty.
Mm-hmm.
So the question becomes, you need to look at your paperwork and make a determination. What warranty or guarantee were you given? And see exactly if you passed it or can you do something about it.
Yeah, and if you look it up, the Mississippi does have a quote-unquote lemon law, Mississippi Code Section 6317.165. But if you actually look at that, it generally does not apply to a used vehicle. So what you'd have to do is exactly if you bought it from an individual versus buying it from a dealership, you know, look at the paper. If you bought it from an individual, there's probably nothing you can do unless they knowingly, you know, hid the defect. Then you may have a fraud claim. If you bought it from a dealership, you need to circle back to that dealership and look at your paperwork that was in there. So, well, the music's playing. So one segment down, you are listening to the Richard Schwartz and Associates Injury Lawyers Legal Power Hour, and we'll be right back. We are back on the Richard Schwartz and Associates Injury Lawyers Legal Power Hour. I am Patrick Wooten, joined as always by Richard Schwartz. You can give us a call on the SuperTalk call line at 888-808-8637, or you can certainly text us on the C Spire text line at 601-879-4395. And I actually heard during the break, so if you listen, that Mississippi has a critical blood shortage as well. So if you are able to give blood, we would certainly encourage you to do that. So because, you know, blood is needed each and every day, and you never know, you know, when you or a loved one may be in need of it. So if you can give, certainly we would encourage you to do that. And it's pretty quick and easy. I know I've done that before. I think you may have done that before, Richard. So it's, you know, you can give the gift of life and it doesn't cost you anything. So something to certainly consider if you can
do it.
You
get a cookie afterwards too.
That's right. You get a little treat, which is always nice. That's for sure. But I kind of put some notes together before the show, Richard, of questions that we get. You know, you've been doing this for 40 years. You know, we get a lot of questions from time to time from someone who's calling the law firm. And the first one always is, you know, how much is it going to cost me? You know, they really don't understand when you say a contingency fee. We're paid on a contingency, you know, basis. So what does that mean to people? And what does it cost them, you know, when they call the law firm?
When we talk to them, it's free. And if we don't recover any money on their behalf, they don't owe us anything.
Yep.
There's nothing that they'll come out of pocket. Our job is to do two things. One is to get the biggest settlement we can and to cram down the medicals as much as we can to net the client the most money. So there's twofold in what we do, and that is to get the settlement and then try to get the medical bills reduced.
That's right. And then, of course, if they have, you know, health insurance, you know, we certainly are going to make sure health insurance is used. So, you know, we do everything, you hit the nail on the head, to maximize the amount of dollars that can go into, you know, the client's pocket to compensate them because they were the one who was injured, you know, in an accident. And when we don't get paid unless we make a successful recovery on behalf of the injured client.
And there have been insurance company studies that show that when someone hires an attorney who knows what they're doing, the settlement's going to be 3 to 4 times higher. And that's why on the front end, a lot of times insurance companies are real proactive, offer you money real quick, and not let you get an attorney.
Mm-hmm.
My advice to you is if, and anyone listening, if you have any kind of pain at all, you shouldn't settle your case. Once you sign that release, it's over with. I mean, what little pain you may have now may be a bigger problem later. For instance, your knee or shoulder usually takes weeks before you know you have a tear or some other complication. So there's parts of your body you know can get worse later, so you don't need to be in a hurry to settle your case.
No, you're exactly right. You hit the nail on the head, because you could feel okay for the first couple of weeks, and then something could flare up. And in the 40 years of you doing this and the firm being around, we've had lots of cases where a client ends up having, you know, shoulder surgery or knee surgery 6 months, 9 months, 12 months, you know, after a wreck, and the doctor ends up determining that was, you know, as a result of injury sustained in the motor vehicle accident. You know, it took a while to get an MRI. You know, it's the person had another problem, so they were hyper-focused on, you know, pain they were having in their back and didn't really focus on their knee. So certainly, you know, you only get one bite of the apple, so to speak. So you hit the nail on the head. Once you sign that release, you know, that you're out of luck, that ship has sailed. So you definitely want to make sure that you have all the information and legal advice that you can have, and by hiring a law firm, you know, that's exactly how you do it. You don't have the dentist do back surgery on you, you know, so you need a law firm to be able to help you out and give you the legal information that you need. I know another big one we get a lot, Richard, is, you know, what's my case worth? You know, in the very beginning, they say, what's my case worth? And I wrote down, there's five factors that come into play that help determine what a case is worth. You know, and we'll just take them as I said, liability. You know, so when we talk about liability, what do we mean when we're having that conversation with a client or a potential client?
Yeah, in Mississippi, there's something called comparative negligence. That means that you don't have to be, or the other person didn't have to be at 100% at fault. You both could be at fault to some degree. And that it determines what settlement you're going to get. But if the other person is 100% at fault, then you're going to be able to prove that they are the one that caused it. They'll admit fault, even in a courtroom, more likely than not. But a lot of insurance companies try to argue comparative negligence. One is that you had clear and present ability to avoid the accident. And we hear that so many. That's all baloney. You know, they try to argue things like that with you. And sometimes it takes a lawyer to straighten that out on the liability issue.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And then the next one, of course, is insurance. You know, insurance has a direct impact. And as we've talked about on this show, unfortunately, about one out of every five drivers, and it varies year to year, but on average, it's about one out of every five is uninsured in the state of Mississippi. So insurance is a big factor. And so you've talked a lot about people making sure they have uninsured motorist coverage. And there's lots of opportunities to be able to determine if that coverage exists.
Yeah, and you need to get more than $25,000. I'm telling you, when you go to the emergency room, your bill is going to be over $25,000 potentially. And so, you know, especially when they do all the tests and x-rays and the like. So you need to protect yourself and your family and increase your uninsured motorist coverage. And you can stack the cars in your household. So if you have four cars, then all four cars are potential ways to recover money. And you pay an extra premium for uninsured motors. So, but I would suggest getting more to protect yourself.
Absolutely. And as you know, we get a lot of people who call in and they go, oh, I've got full coverage. You know, they're like, oh, my, right. You know, my agent gave me full coverage. Well, technically, there's no full coverage you have. So you need to make sure you are looking at your policy, because there are so many different coverages that are out there. And as Richard said, you know, don't, if you can afford it, don't just carry the minimum. Don't carry the $25,000 minimum, which is certainly better than, you know, the many years ago when you started, Richard, and when I started, when it was $10,000 minimum policies that are out there. But still, the cost of medicine has gotten to be expensive. So Richard hit the nail on the head. We see lots of emergency room visits that are $15,000, $20,000, $25,000. You know, so you definitely want to make sure you have levels of protection. So that's liability. That's insurance. The next one I have relates, and it's kind of a multi-category, is injury, you know, because depending on what type of injury you have certainly would have a direct impact on the value of your case.
Yeah, and would you have a permanent impairment? What your future medical is going to be? how much medicals you have now, how long you treated. All of those are factors in determining, because every case is unique. And so there's no way to say a formula saying this injury is worth this amount of money. It is no way to do that, because it's unique to each person, how it affects them in their life.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So, and the length of treatment comes into play. You hit the nail on the head. Someone who, hopefully, and we would hope people have minor injuries and make full recoveries. So if you treat for a shorter amount of time, needless to say, it's going to have typically a lower value versus somebody who has a more significant injury that takes a longer amount of time to recover and achieve, you know, the magic words that ultimately you look for from a doctor: maximum medical recovery or maximum medical improvement, which under the eyes of the law and medicine means you're as good as you're going to get. You know, you're not going to get any better. And then the last one, which is one that most people don't think about, Richard, is venue. You know, and that really is an interesting factor in the state of Mississippi with 82 counties. So, you know, kind of share with people, how does venue really affect the value of cases, and how, you know, if you have an accident in County A, it could be worth Y dollars, but you have the same wreck in County B and it's worth X dollars.
Yeah, and that's just normal. I mean, you know a history of the counties and the verdicts that they render, and you know which counties are more friendly to the plaintiff, the injured person, or more friendly to the defense. So there are very conservative venues in Mississippi that if you took that case to trial, you would get less money than in a venue that is more obviously better for the injured person.
Absolutely. And we'll touch on that a little bit more when we come back from this break. You are listening to the Richard Schwartz and Associates Injury Lawyers Legal Power Hour. Feel free to give us a call at 888-808-8637. We'll be right back. Welcome back. You are listening to the Richard Schwartz and Associates Injury Lawyers Legal Power Hour. I am Patrick Wooten, joined as always by Richard Schwartz, and we were going through what's my case worth, and the last issue was venue, and you did a great job describing it, Richard, and what I was going to share, just like you know, is insurance companies literally keep a color-coded map of the state of Mississippi that has been created by their defense lawyers, where they code counties red, yellow, green, and so when they are coming up with a determination, you know, of a case, the value of a case, they literally look at that chart. I mean, I have been, you know, and had meetings with them where I literally watch them whip out that chart, and I tell them before they even get to it, I'm like, look, that's a plaintiff-friendly county. You know, that's a more defense-friendly county. But it is funny that how much they rely on that map of Mississippi to have a direct effect on the evaluation and valuation of a case when they are coming up with an offer. Just absolutely unbelievable.
Yeah, it makes sense. They know if you're with a lawyer and you're going to try a case, you're going to get a bigger verdict in, let's say, Hinds County than you would in a more conservative venue. So they are looking at that. And the good news about when you determine the venue, it isn't where the accident happened. It can be where the accident happened, but it also can be where the defendant resides. So many times you may have someone who resides in a different county that's a better county for you than the venue that the accident happened in. So that has to also be looked at by the attorney.
Absolutely. And I know that's something we always, you know, look at early when you see that it happened in a more conservative county. Is there a way that you can get it to a more, you know, what I like to say, fair county, you know, where a jury is going to, you know, study the evidence if it had to go to trial and give a fair verdict than one that is always seems to be slanted toward the insurance companies. But we've got Bob on the phone, and if anyone else wants to join us, we're going to get to you in 1 second, Bob. You can always call us at 888-808-8637. 8637 on the Super Talk call line. But good morning, Bob. Welcome to, you know, Richard Schwartz and Associates Injury Lawyers Legal Power Hour.
Hey, good morning, Andrew. Good morning, Richie.
Hey, morning.
Richie, I had a sports law question for you today. Bryce won the Heisman Trophy Saturday night, and I would love to see Arch Manning and Alabama match up and see if he could be another Heisman quarterback winner. But this NIL compensation, which is where Bryce Young had $1 million in endorsements before the season started, Richie, is Bryce Young able to get $1 million, and now he'll be getting millions more in endorsements since he's young in his college career? As a sophomore, will this young college man be able to get $1 million+ in endorsements and have it deposited in his bank account and spend it? And what are the regulations in regard to this NIL compensation?
Well, the player, you know, what it's for is when a player, someone uses their likeness, and when they use their likeness, then they should be compensated for that. And then if someone wins the Heisman Trophy, for instance, then obviously he'll be in higher demand than someone who just plays in a single position. So obviously they're going to get paid more money. Now, the schools have gotten smart, and they've created these programs where people can donate to, and they find people to sponsor them. So all players, I think I read where if you're an offensive lineman at Texas, you're guaranteed $50,000 a year. So it's all, they're all making money on now on their name and signing up with the school. But they can't get paid unless they have an endorsement. They have to have someone who's endorsing them. They can have an agent, and that agent can find endorsements for them, but they can spend the money any way they want when they get it, is my understanding.
Are there tax laws related to that money from the student?
Yeah, it's taxable. Yeah, it's taxable income. It's no different than anybody else's income. Yeah, they have to pay income tax on it.
Well, if you're a sophomore and you have over $1 million endorsements, it's hard for these young men, because I have something to do with the Senior Bowl every year. It's mm-hmm. hard for me to visualize that these kids that are young and in college or just out of college, that they know what to do with millions of dollars in cash or in their bank accounts.
Well, I don't think age has anything to do with that.
Yeah, and if I had to get
rock stars.
Yeah, and if I had to guess, Bob, you know, you've got those that are making $1 million. Bryce Young, and I think there was a gymnast from LSU, and there's some others that are getting those seven-figure deals. All have agents, so they certainly have safety nets in place that I'm sure that those funds are going into, you know, an account that is being overseen by someone that's a little older than the 19-year-old, you know, 20-year-old, so that they have that safety net to have those funds, you know, later in life.
Yeah, Richie, I appreciate it, and y'all have a good week, and I'm really counting on Arch Manning coming over to Alabama.
We'll see. I don't think he's going to go that route, but he may go somewhere else, but we'll see. Never know.
Yep. Thank you for calling, Bob. We always enjoy it. In name, image, and likeness is such just an interesting, you know, change to the college landscape.
Well,
and Bob
NCAA
asked a great question.
Sued over it.
Yep.
Yeah, NCAA got sued over it, and they lost.
Yep.
Because they were making millions of dollars going to these video games, and they would actually have a player who had their name or something similar to it with the exact stats that they had for the year. So they were the NCAA was making money on the images of college players, which is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
The college players should be making the money for that.
No, absolutely. And then we did get someone who texted in, Darren, we appreciate it, who just kind of piggybacked off of Bob, and he's like, and they still get free college education, you know, so they still have their scholarship, you know, in whatever sport that they may have, which not all of them, like I know college baseball, for example, has a very small, you know, number of scholarships. So literally college, but a lot of college baseball players get a quarter of a scholarship or half a scholarship, you know, half a scholarship. But they do get, you know, they still have scholarship in the training table and things of that nature. But yeah, I mean, those young men and young women who are playing college sports are sitting there sacrificing and putting in countless hours, you know, to play a game that they love, and certainly they should, you know, be rewarded for, you know, all their hard work. And if someone wants to step up, I know we were approached at the law firm by a couple people. We chose not to get involved with any NIL, you know, athletes. But it is interesting that there are lots of opportunities now for athletes to be able to make money, because in the big picture, the vast majority, the super vast majority of them are never going to play professional sports. You know, they're going to be a doctor or a lawyer or, you know, a sales exec for a company. You know, so at the end of the day, if they can make money because they are a big fish in a small pond, so to speak, as a college athlete, absolutely take advantage of that, because it can help set them up for the future, that if they want to go get a master's degree or go to medical school or go to law school, you know, then they have, you know, a nest egg out there to help them. So, you know, I think it's great for the athletes that they're able to do that.
And you know, the athletes are putting the school is making money on what the athletes do, and so the athletes are putting their own body into jeopardy, and they could have a season-ending injury or anything could possibly happen. So it makes sense to me that they should be paid. The only question becomes, are they employees? And that is something that hasn't been determined yet that I'm aware of. Are they employees? Are they independent contractors? What are they?
Mm-hmm.
And so that issue's going to have to be determined at some point.
No, that's a great point. So there's still some gray area, as you kind of hit the nail on the head as we work through that, with this really being the first year of NIL as it relates to college athletes. We'll pivot back to, you know, personal injury law, which is what we, you know, deal with more than anything day in and day out. But as we talked about, you know, questions we get all the time, what was the contingency fee? We answered that. You know, what's my case worth? And then really kind of another one we get is, how long will my case take? You know, someone signs up, they're like, how long will my case take? And I know you've talked to thousands upon tens of thousands of clients over the years, Richard. And so what is kind of your answer that you always, you know, share with them?
It's different for every single person, and here's why. Because it depends on what kind of treatment they get, how long they treat. Because we have to get medical records proof. If you have lost income, we have to get that evidence. If you have an impairment, then we got to get some experts that'll get involved in it. So every case is completely different. There's no way to tell you when a case will resolve. And anyone who can tell you that is telling you a story, because it can't be determined until you get better, or we figure out what's happening. So there's no quick answer to it.
Absolutely. Well, the music's playing. We're through three breaks. You are listening to the Richard Schwartz & Associates Injury Lawyers Legal Power Hour. You can always reach us on the C Spire text line at 601-879-4395, and we'll be right back. Welcome back on this Monday morning to the Richard Schwartz & Associates Injury Lawyers Legal Power Hour, as we power into the final segment of the show. Bob's NIL question has really resonated, as we've gotten a number of texts in on it. So that may be a good topic for another show, you know, someday. Someone said, hey, if they leave and go pro before graduating, should they have to donate money, you know, back to the university? And could the NFL or other professional league have to, you know, donate, you know, have to match it? And then another one said, shouldn't the amount they're being paid on an NIL deal be deducted from their scholarship, so that there would be, you know, scholarship money for people who don't have NIL deals at universities? So, you know, clearly, you know, the NIL is a topic that gets a lot of people fired up and you know, has changed the landscape of, you know, college athletics, because you have those that certainly are making millions of dollars and you have, you know, people who don't make anything off of NIL. So it's an interesting, you know, concept.
And the transfer rules change so much. I mean, you got guys in a college who are making, you know, $100,000 and they're transferring. Well, naturally, they want to go to a college that can guarantee the same amount of money or more. So the transfer rule is sort of like free agency in the NFL. I mean, you pay for your player through NIL. So that's an interesting situation as well, because it's no different than the NFL in that regard. And that issue's really changed recruiting.
Yeah, and what's interesting is you think a player gets, you know, takes an NIL from a local business, you know, and then enters the transfer portal and, you know, leaves that university. Well, needless to say, you know, that local business does not want to continue the NIL. So are you getting into some breach of contract issues, depending on how the NIL deal was, you know, executed and agreed to between the parties? So, you know, that's really where it takes. You don't need an 18, 19, 20-year-old trying to negotiate an NIL deal on their own. That's where they have agents and lawyers and experts involved in the process to make sure that the contract is written in such a way that, for example, I know Ohio State just had, you know, a quarterback transfer, I think, to the University of Texas, I read this morning. So it's interesting. So NIL is certainly an area that, you know, creates a lot of benefit to college athletes, but can certainly, you know, have its pitfalls as well.
Yeah. The only thing that really helps is the limitation of scholarships, because the big guys are going to be able to get the big players even better now. And the little guys will get lesser players, but it requires a lot of money to get decent players.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, well, got a couple trivia questions that we're going to ask as they relate to Christmas that we're 12 days away. So we'll throw those out there. So the first one is Christmas trees. You know, who was the first president to put up a Christmas tree in the White House?
I'm going to guess Eisenhower.
Hey, what about you, Andrew?
I'm going to go Truman.
It happened before then. It was Benjamin Harrison in 1899. Which I'm shocked that it took all the way to 1899 for there to be a Christmas tree in the White House. And now we'll go to the other extreme. Which president refused for there to be a Christmas tree in the White House? And this is post-1899. So there is a president who refused to put a Christmas tree in the White House. And who do you think that is? And I have to thank my wife. And for the record, let me thank my wife for this question. We had her office Christmas party at our house Friday, and she came up with a bunch of questions for folks to ask. And so which president didn't have a Christmas tree was on the list. So thank you to her.
I would guess Richard Nixon.
I'm going to go Ford, because he wasn't in there long enough to get the thing up.
You know, interesting. It's Teddy Roosevelt. And the rationale between Teddy Roosevelt is he was such a conservationist, he didn't want to cut down a tree to put in the White House. So, you know, there's a little Christmas tree trivia for folks that's out there, you know, that's good. You know, I'm sure they will see that somewhere, and, you know, they'll be at a party with friends or family, and they can get a little bragging rights, because they'll know the answers to both of those questions now, or can ask them and maybe win an extra piece of pie or something at Christmas dinner.
That's right.
Exactly. But one last thing we'll hit on is we'll finish on legal. You know, the last question you get is, you know, people say, if I hire you, will I have to have a trial? You know, what's your answer to that, Richard?
The answer is that generally very few cases go to trial. And even the cases we file suit on, most of those settle. Now, and we probably have more cases in litigation than many plaintiff's firms. And so I would tell you that 99% of the cases in litigation do settle before trial. We do try cases, but the defense is a little scared to try a case as much as the plaintiff is, because they could get popped with a big verdict, and that defense firm or insurance company would have mud on their face. So there is risk anytime you go to trial. No one knows how it's going to turn out, no matter where you try it.
Absolutely.
So I definitely think that in a very small percent of cases actually file lawsuits on, because most of the times we'll be able to resolve.
Yep. Well, you've been listening to the Richard Schwartz and Associates Injury Lawyers Legal Power Hour. We appreciate your input and appreciate your listening. Hope you have a safe and healthy week, and we will look forward to talking to you again next Monday morning.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.